There's a growing sentiment in this country that tolerance will not work. And I can't say that I disagree. I think we're past tolerance. I would prefer tolerance. I'd prefer a mutual exchange of ideas between divergent parties in the hopes of finding some common ground for the good of the country. But I see increasingly more on the left than the right, but both sides are complicit that there is a total lack of an effort to solve problems peacefully. And the left is where I really am going to put the blame because they don't care about compromise. And I don't see that there's any way back from this. The Charlie Kirk assassination will go down in American history as one of the most divisive events that produces the most profound changes in ways that I can't even predict. And I don't think anyone can really predict. But we're going to talk about a couple of facts here. And it stems from the government. And then in the next segment, we're going to look at the views of one politician and how this person is saying there's no way back from this. I will give a disclaimer here. If this country were to turn away from its evil, wicked ways, and I'm not talking government, I'm talking people that are attempting to run the government, and if they would turn to Christ, anything is possible. But until that happens, this downward slide is going to end up in places that none of us will end up benefiting from. Some people are encouraging it, but I think they'll come to regret their words. My name is Dave Hodges. I am the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and we're brought to you by my friends at NanoSoma. The NanoSoma liquid spray, this little bottle right here, saved my life almost 18 months ago when I was afflicted with pneumonia and RSV with strep throat linings. The pneumonia handled fine, few days gone. I was told by experts those lung linings aren't coming back, particularly at your advanced age, Dave. Well, they didn't say advanced, but that was the implication. And I told my wife, I said, no, I don't know how to quit. And I'm going to fight for life as long as I have it. And so Scotty Sachs came to me as my partner in Sovereign Radio. And Scotty said, Dave, you got to try this. I've been using this and it helps. This doesn't cure anything, but it does boost your immune system by increasing the amount of vitamin C in your system, regulates vitamin D, nuclear receptors, lengthens telomeres, linked to longevity. And he said, your immune system would be at an incredible level. Well, I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs 2 weeks after taking this multi-doses, mega doses, and you can do it because it's all natural. I was walking up those flight of stairs in a month. I was back in the gym, not at a high level. And I was there, and the rest, as they say, is history. I'm doing better now than I have done in over 25 years. And there's two more products that go with this called the three pack, and that would be the gel you rub on your joints, produces pluripotent stem cells. And if you got bone on bone pain like I did, you'll find your inflammation just over time starts to diminish rapidly. It took 2 to 3 months for mine to disappear. And then there's the fine line and wrinkles cream. I used it to treat a severe cut on my finger. I should have gotten stitches for, but I said, no, I'm going to use the cream. Friends of mine say this works for that, and it sure as heck did. That's the three pack. It's 15% off. You'll want to check it out at iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, I am an optimist. And I approach my work, whatever it was, whether it was teaching or coaching, I never believed I was going to lose. And that goes back to me being an athlete. And I would do everything with my power to make sure that I wasn't part of a losing effort. Stubbornly so, sometimes excessively stubbornly so, that sometimes you can't let go and accept where you're at. I had to learn to mature in that area. I am in that mindset now. I don't want to give up on America, but we're going to get to that aspect. Should we give up on America? in the next segment, but I want to go through some things right here to explain to you why I don't see any conventional way back outside the spiritual. Charlie said in the foreword to a book he wrote, he said, when people stop talking, violence becomes reality. When nations stop talking, that is when wars start. And when marriages, partners don't talk, divorces occur. And he's right. And this is why he championed the First Amendment. But I want to show you how one side, and listen, you know my views, toss them all. 90% of GOP in Congress don't deserve to be there. 100% of the Dem, well, 100% minus one deserve to be there. And I'm talking John Fetterman. Yeah, I've done a 180 on John Fetterman because he's been a voice of reason, more so than most of the Republicans. And people are saying, oh, Dave, how could you support a Democrat? I'm not saying I support him. I'm saying I can deal with a person in terms of how he communicates. He doesn't resort to threats. He's not a name caller. He simply says, problem, we need to fix it. And no, I'm not going to attach myself to all this name calling and violent rhetoric. And I respect that. And I'd like to see more of it from more people. But unfortunately, we have elected self-serving, let's get rich quick ideologues to Congress, and they have abused this country. They've run our country into the ground with debt. They've run our country into needless confrontations around the world, and they have left an impossible mess for President Trump to clean up. That's, and I believe in the toss them all movement. Toss them all. Get people out in the primaries. Get, I would rather have people from modest labor backgrounds running our country who could actually make a common sense decision, not motivated by greed, avarice, selfishness, and hate. There's my condemnation of Congress. I have it. Well, Congress has a 9% approval rating. I mean, I'm not alone. I'm willing to take action. If someone would help me, we'd start this toss them all movement, get it off the ground. And get these idiots out of office. And most of them are absolute idiots. A lot of them are compromised, which is why they're used by the powers that be, because they can be controlled. Okay, let's get down to some facts here from the left. Cash Patel and Dan Bongino have said that the Biden FBI was weaponized. Well, duh. I lived through 4 years of it. I saw it firsthand. I saw the FBI go into the home of Sharona Bishop, manhandle their teenage daughter on the stairs, steal all their electronics. And what were they guilty of? Oh, that's right. Sharona was at school board meetings saying, I don't want my kids indoctrinated in these ways. Citizen participation, the right to assembly, the right to air grievances with governmental bodies. Excuse me, those are fundamental First Amendment rights. And she got her house destroyed over it, forced to leave Camarado, this is what I call my old home state where I grew up, and moved to Texas. That's what Sharona did. And she's turned lemons into lemonade. She has her own show now. She's an activist for the parental rights. She's done a wonderful job. But that's the weaponized FBI that I saw with my own eyes. And I've interviewed Sharona about three, four times. Here's what's come out now from FBI investigations. This is striking. First of all, the hate really mushroomed in the Biden administration. And I don't think Biden's capable of promoting that, although I do believe he has demonstrated through the years he's of this mindset. But his FBI had Operation Arctic Front, Arctic Frost, excuse me, Arctic Frost. And that was to go after, and I quote from congressional testimony, 92 groups of individuals who oppose our ideology. Our ideology would be leftist. We don't think parents have rights. Leftist, we're anti-constitution. Leftist, we will persecute anyone who disagrees with us. Not prosecute, persecute, then prosecute. You know the game, Brian. We've seen it unfold with the trials of Donald Trump. Okay, on their list of people in Arctic Frost, the FBI was surveilling and harassing Republican National Committee leaders, the Republican National Governor Association. And that's just to name a few. And then they start adding individuals on there. And then we have to ask the question, where was Charlie Kirk in all this? He was one of the 92, Turning Point USA and Charlie Kirk. And I'm sure he was aware of it. Let's get down to a little bit more detail here about the left. And I'm building a case that this is not manageable at this point. Maybe we'll have a breakthrough. I would pray that we would. But I agree with other politicians who are saying we have reached a point where this is not manageable. These are irreconcilable differences unless something major, unexpected happens, probably of a spiritual nature. Josh Hawley commenting to Kash Patel in congressional hearing yesterday, we learned that Discord online gaming site, Tyler Robinson, the accused assassin of Charlie Kirk, was collaborating with people in ideological exchanges and talking about September 10th, which was the date of Charlie Kirk's assassination. And references to that date and what was going to happen were made. This is now part of the congressional record. This isn't conspiracy. This isn't conjecture. This is what's in the congressional record. And there's no taking it back. And I maintain this is the outgrowth of ideology of hate that stemmed from the Biden FBI and other organizations. Instead of being a law enforcement agency, it was a Democratic enforcement agency. I don't know if it's going to end up being any different in this administration, because we are seeing the right-left paradigm being played out, but it might be a necessary thing that the FBI has to do to right its ship. People have no confidence in the FBI. Not none, zero. Have you seen the approval ratings of the FBI coming out of the Biden administration? They're in the toilet. People don't trust the FBI, and they shouldn't. Sharona Bishop, headline case, not alone. We have now found Josh Hawley asked Kash Patel, we understand you're looking at more than 20 people for having foreknowledge of what was going to happen to Charlie. And Kash Patel said, it's much more than 20. That opens up a can of worms. And I'm going to leave it to you to interpret where this goes because we didn't get a lot of elaboration other than some conspiratorial statements against Charlie Kirk with specific dates, including the date of his assassination, mentioned several times. Steve Turley is also talking about this as well. But it's easy to talk about for all of us because it's now in the congressional record. So are we to believe the congressional record is all a lie? I do want to say one thing about the exchange between Kash Patel and Cory Booker. Kash Patel, terribly unprofessional. Excuse me. Let's go back to confirmation hearings and look at the behavior of Democrats in the confirmation hearings, of which Donald Trump has the least amount of confirmed people in the history of the presidency. That's right. The history of the presidency, there hasn't been fewer people confirmed than in Donald Trump's administration. This is the blockage being put on by the left. And we would see stuff like this. Well, you're really a bad person. Yes or no? And then the person would start to give an explanation or an answer, like RFK Jr., Kash Patel, Pam Bondi. And they'd say, no, yes or no. I reclaim my time. They're filibustering. Wait a minute. They're answering the question or responding to the statement that was just made, but they weren't allowed. They had to say yes or no in an entrapment kind of question. And this was the standard protocol. This wasn't a few here and there. Every single Democrat engaged in this behavior that spoke at confirmation hearings. Now, the exchange between Patel and Cory Booker. Well, Cory Booker has made many un-American statements, in my estimation. He doesn't respect the Constitution. He doesn't respect America. He has a perpetual axe to grind. And if you disagree with him, he'll shout you down and call you names and filibuster until you break and bend. This is what his MO is. And Kash Patel says, I'm not taking this treatment. I went through this in the confirmation. I'm not taking it any longer. So what we look at here is the exchange between Patel and Cory Booker is emblematic of what people are saying, that we have crossed the Rubicon, so to speak. The bridges have been burned, to quote Sun Tzu, and there's no way back. I believe there's a way back, but not with the present atmosphere. There is no way back. And this situation is only going to intensify because, as we have learned from these Discord chats and other statements being made that think it's okay to murder someone who you disagree with, that other people are on the list. We'll elaborate on that in the next segment. But yeah, there's a hit list that's floating around out there on social media. Do we take this as doctrine for a group, or are these the statements of combined crazies and illegal attitudes? And I mean, when you're threatening to kill someone, that is illegal. Is this just coincidental between people of like mind, or is this a conspiracy? I can tell you what Kash Patel thinks. It's pretty obvious. I can tell you what Dan Bongino thinks. It's pretty obvious. And it's not going to be long until Donald Trump fully weighs in on this, fully weighs in on this. And President Trump is already beginning to take some actions that make me think that he's speaking softly for once and carrying a big stick. I think this is where Trump is going. I'm going to watch before I make any judgments here about where he's at. One thing that came out of the congressional hearings that I thought was remarkable, and it's about darn time. This ideology of violence, attacking ICE, open season on assassinating police officers, of which you remember last year, two police officers were executed. This ideology and subsequent negative actions are being investigated for who's funding it. The attitude would be it's more important to find out who paid for the bullet rather than who fired the bullet. And that was made clear in Congress yesterday, that there is ongoing efforts to lift up every stone, look totally under the hood. We're going to find out who's behind it, and then we're coming after you. That's what I heard very clearly yesterday. The problem is this is legal, maybe needed, hateful, and hate begets hate, and we'll just be escalating the cycle to a higher vibration. And that leads me into the next segment. Pray for peace, pray for the restoration of common sense, and pray that the midterm elections, America wakes up and gets rid of 90% of Congress. That is where our problems begin, because the attitudes that killed Charlie Kirk have either been perpetuated or tolerated, and neither person that carries either side of that coin, whether it's perpetuation or toleration, none of those people belong in Congress. None of those people belong in any elected position, including school board members. We need people who will take an active stance and action against those who perpetrate violence and call for the perpetration of violence. It is time to take action. The time for tolerance of these behaviors that are illegal is over. I want to see perp walks. I want to see jail time for overt actions against our government that are violent, against officials of our government that are violent, and against private citizens like Charlie Kirk that are deadly. It's time for action. So, Mr. Patel, you sounded like you wanted to do this and you're on Capitol Hill. Dan Bongino, you've been saying this and you've got a background behind you that says that your words are sincere. Good. Put your words to action. It's time. I don't care how high of a position someone is or how low of a position they are. When you engage in illegal behavior, You need to go to jail. I don't care what your demographics are, your political beliefs, anything about you. I don't care how many millions and billions of dollars you have behind you. When you break the law, I want to see the perp walk. And if you and this administration are not willing to do that, then we wasted our time electing you. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. The news on this morning is grim. And I just want to say this as a disclaimer. Annie DeRiso, who served as my news director for 6.5 years, the wife of my mentor in this business, the late Bill Pollack, she nagged me for years, Dave, do this full time. She said, this is your calling. And I've heard it from other people when I was tiptoeing around in this business. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'd rather do sports reports. I'd rather do Mysteries of the Minds, our hip series over on our TV show. I'd much rather be doing that stuff. Enjoyable stuff, the sci-fi stuff. But I think I need to stay on task here because I inherited good contacts. I've developed good contacts. And some of what I'm going to give you on this grim morning is now already out there. It's just a matter of can people connect the dots in a meaningful way? And I'm going to try to be a dot connector here. I don't think there's much here that I'm going to give you that's horribly unknown, but I don't think people are connecting the dots in a widespread manner. And we're going to connect the dots in one area, but we're probably going to do a series of segments here in a row where we're going to line them up and knock them down. And at the end of the day, I'm going to say, get on your knees and pray to Almighty God that we do not have war. And it's almost, I don't know if we're past the point of no return or not. I don't know. Nothing is beyond the power of God to turn things around. But if it's up to mankind, we may be beyond that point of no return. My name is Dave Hodges, and this is the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Life looks normal. We're going to talk about how appearances can be deceptive. We're brought to you by My Digital Money. And I'll tell you, if we're going headlong into war right now, there'll be no holding back crypto. Trump has already moved to back the dollar up with crypto as a first mover. People take the profits into stable coins. Stable coin has to, by law, be backed by the dollar. All of a sudden now, we don't have the fiat currency in the fashion that we had it before. Crypto's going to go crazy. Peace or war, it's going to go nuts. Protect yourself now. If you ever thought about getting involved in crypto, this is the time. And even in peace, with this move coming by Trump, this is a no-brainer. Now, who do I use for crypto? I think there's no question. My Digital Money. I talked to Guy Gottschalk a lot, their CEO. He's right on top of it. And they have the highest integrity. Go to mydigitalmoney.com and I would do it soon. That's mydigitalmoney.com. Hard to know where to start with all these facts, but I'm going to repeat something I said earlier and then link it into a new event that's surfacing. We talked about the 68 character digital codes that appeared twice out of a Soviet, it is old Soviet stuff, Cold War messaging center. Only tied to nuclear war. And the last time it sent out messages like this was about 2 years after the fall of the Soviet Union. And a lot of people wondered at the time, is this going to be like a doomsday situation? If Soviet Union can't thrive and survive, are they going to bring the rest of the world down with a nuclear war? And that was really a big concern for America. And it may be the crisis you never heard of, but many of us did hear about this. Well, is there such a thing going on in America today? And unfortunately, yes. 268 character messages being emitted with nuclear codes in America, and the typical message length is 30 characters. So we're looking at something that's almost 9 times longer than normal. We're talking operational details. We're talking defensive action. New York Prepper is reporting that, and I want to give him credit. Sub hunters patrolling off the coast of Florida. We also have, there's only two of these in the military. Nuclear sniffer. It's up in the sky over the Four Corners, not terribly far from me, about 4 hours to the north by drive. We have one that's airborne in North Dakota that would be looking for missiles coming over or out of the Arctic. I don't know how far the Russian armament has gone there. We were talking about back in 2014, 2015, Russia was arming the Arctic. We were concerned. Did they put nukes? I think it would be stupid not to think that they did. And this is why this plane is airborne. We appear to be in nuclear mode. Now, it could be reactionary, a precaution, but something's afoot. And you notice I'm not even talking Venezuela right now. I'm going to be talking Venezuela in a little while, but right here, right now, we're talking nuclear defenses coming up to par. We've got B-52s in the air. I could go on and on about this. We have sub hunters also off the coast of Washington and Oregon and British Columbia. That would be a logical place for the Russians to get involved on that side of the coast. I know that some bases in Alaska are on high alert. I've heard one base is leaves are canceled. I was told not to mention the base so as not to call attention to personnel who are leaking to a secondary source that told me. I think there's no question we're as close to nuclear war as we have been since the Cuban Missile Crisis. Remember when my father, he was in retirement, and they pulled him off the duty he was working on in what you would call Operation Paperclip. They didn't call it that. He was flown to DC and he was in a briefing for about 24 hours. And he came back home, and I'm just a little kid. And I don't know what my dad was thinking when he said this. He goes, "We're going to be at war within 10 days, serious war. And you're the man of the house if anything happens to me." Okay. I was in early grade school. But I remember it like it was yesterday. And I actually started watching the news. I remember watching as a young child President Kennedy's speech where they showed pictures of nuclear installations in Cuba. And I remember Adlai Stevenson being at the United Nations. You remember, I'm just a little kid and I remember this now because my family was all up in arms. I remember my mom saying, "Honey, I thought you were through with this." Never through with it. When you put the first nukes on the first ship in the Navy, which is what my dad was a big part of. And this is bringing back haunting memories. And then as a historian, I looked at the Cuban situation and I'm wondering, how did we ever avoid nuclear war? And I'll tell you, John Kennedy gets the credit. I think a lot of the credit goes to Nikita Khrushchev. And no, he didn't chicken out. He had a higher motive. And this is actually what led to his demise. And he thought he backed down and he wasn't going to destroy the planet, and that's what would have happened. And over Cuba? Will it happen over Venezuela? Well, this isn't the only theater of war. We're not just talking Ukraine. Right now in the UK and London, they're testing their air raid warning system. I don't know how much warning they think they're going to get if Russia unleashes missiles, but they are testing the system as of last night. This is getting so serious. Now, what can you do? Not a heck of a lot, except I would caution everyone now not to get caught short on food, not to get caught short on water and water purification. Have the essentials. As I like to say, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, tools, the Bible, the Constitution for the rebuild, if it comes for that, and you're one of the survivors. But you need to prep. And the worst thing that happens, you eat your mistake. But we're just getting started. This is only one part of the equation. I have more as it relates to what's going on in Venezuela. And this could bring in a Chinese response and very possibly a Russian response. Although I don't think so, because Russia did not respond when we attacked Iran. And there's more going on in Iran, and I'm going to be covering that either Wednesday or Friday of this week with an exiled Iranian leader who's got inside story there. I just hope we get to that time and we're still on the air. Folks, when something like this goes down, and if you've ever seen any of the war game scenarios that have been released that aren't classified, that come out of like the Naval War College, these wars have a very short fuse in terms of being triggered. World War I was predictable. World War II was predictable. I don't know that World War III is predictable, but if the trigger events happen, it's going to go quickly. Stay tuned. We have more. And have some fun. Let's enjoy life as we have it. Go to the commonsenseshow.tv, sign up, and watch the HIP series. And we also have our interviews and our geopolitics up there too. But we need some diversions. We need to have some fun. But make darn sure that you prep. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I am the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Hey, want to thank you for all your support on our podcast. We are kicking butt and taking names. We are in the upper part of the 0.5% of 3.6 million podcasts in the world. We do appreciate your support. It's too bad we can't get traction here. And I know a lot of you don't get notifications. And hey, we're working on it. Share, if you would, please. And I do mean share far and wide. And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. TheCommonSenseShow.com is where you go. Click the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner. Put in your email. And I promise you, we do not sell data here. And you'll get an update of everything that we do for the previous 24 hours. It's free, and over 50,000 people are doing it. I'd suggest you take advantage of it. Hey, we are brought to you by a great product here in this groundbreaking story about NASA we're about ready to share. And this is absolutely phenomenal. We are brought to you by the starter pack. I call it the three pack. You get 15% off these great products. You get three nanosoma sprays, liquid sprays. And I use mine constantly, and it brought me back from death's doorstep last year. And I'm better than I've been in 26 years. And then, of course, they have the nanosoma gel that I use to rub on my joints. I used to get terrible inflammation from bone on bone, but with the creation of pluripotent stem cells, I no longer get that problem. And then, of course, there's the nanosoma skin cream, which you apply it, it erases fine lines and wrinkles. I used it to treat a cut that really deserved 4 to 6 stitches. 2 weeks later, after putting it on daily, completely healed. No scar. Amazing, right here. This finger, you remember the bandages I had on it? No scar whatsoever. These products together, 15% off. You want better health? Well, you got the answer. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, if you think that NASA, the term, stood for never a straight answer, you ain't seen nothing yet. Today, and I don't know that I can be critical of President Trump, but I don't trust NASA. NASA is never to be trusted. They lie about their lies. They're the biggest waste of public expenditure we could have possibly had. We should be turning the space program over to Elon Musk and SpaceX. By the way, who rescued the astronauts that were stranded in space? It sure as hell wasn't NASA. It was Elon Musk. Now, here's what happened today. This is shocking. I mean, this is shocking beyond belief. Today, President Trump issued an executive order. He declared NASA, in effect, to be a spy agency that's going to conduct intelligence and counterintelligence work. What they're doing here is they're keeping people like you and me from exercising the Freedom of Information Act so we can find out what NASA is really up to. And they're up to no good. They lie about their lies. I've said this before, but it bears repeating here. In the original charter written by the Brookings Institute that created NASA in 1958, it said, if we ever go out there and find something unusual, like alien life forms, we have to cover it up because society couldn't handle it. They'd fall apart. Religions would disintegrate. We'd have total chaos and panic on the planet. That's a load of BS, but that was the rationale, and NASA used that. They also had a flip side of this as well. Turn that coin over, and the other thing they were commanded not to do by the Brookings Institute was, if we go out there and find we've been there before, we should do the same thing for the same reasons. Okay. Look, I don't pretend to have all the answers, and I'm not a big believer in the little gray men and alien beings coming here to do whatever, and the tall whites walking amongst us. I'm not a believer. I think it's part of the Great Deception, designed to create a fake threat, Project Bluebeam. The Bible refers to it as a Great Deception, 2 Thessalonians, Revelation. It's all in the Bible, and I think that's where this is headed. Okay, but set aside Dave's spiritual beliefs. Let's get down to some facts, okay? I'm going to try to walk the neutral line here for a second. Let's just assume for a second a couple of possibilities. Number one, Mars and Earth have a similar history. There is proof for that, but I can believe that without believing in the aliens. If you look at the Cydonia region of Mars, and we've shown this, just look up Face of Mars, Cydonia, Cydonia. Look up Cydonia, look at Giza. Those shapes and structures on Mars are exactly equidistant from what's on Giza. They're not lights and shadows, is never a straight answer agency would like to tell you. Lights and shadows really working at 45 and 90 degree angles? I don't think so. And what's interesting is the tips of these angular things we call pyramids, both on Giza and both on Mars, pointed to the constellation Orion at the equinox 17,500 years ago. Now, how do we know this? Well, there's a computer software program most commonly used called Precession, and it can take planetary bodies, stars, celestial organizations, constellations, can roll back the clock to see where things would have been over time. And that's what's been done with Precession. And this is why the link between Cydonia and Giza are undeniable. Richard Hoagland first exposed this to the modern era. Richard Hoagland, former science advisor, unceremoniously ejected by George Norrie for no reason and humiliated him on the air, I might add, much in the same fashion as John B. Walls was treated. John's had the last laugh, by the way. His show beats the heck out of Coast with regard to ratings, but I digress. The work of Richard Hoagland on this was nothing short of fantastic. Wrote a book called Monument of Mars, still available. I'd recommend you get it. I don't make any money for telling you about this. Richard doesn't even know I'm doing the show. We've talked a few times. We had mutual friends. My mentor in this business, the late Bill Pollack, and Richard were very good friends. In fact, they were neighbors in La Placitas, New Mexico. Listen, Richard was on top of it. Okay, there is a connection between Cydonia and Earth. The biggest thing, though, that bothers me is when we went back to Mars in 1997 with the rover, why didn't we land at Cydonia and settle the controversy? Why? Why did we not? Well, because Never a Straight Answer agency didn't want you to know the truth. That's the only thing I can conclude. But it gets more interesting. It's not just the Mars-Earth connection. We have three interstellar objects since 2017 that have entered our solar system from interstellar space. That's never happened before in our recorded history, yet we've had three. And two of them are anomalous as heck. And the latest one, 3I Atlas, is emitting light, and the tail's coming out the wrong end. And it's changing speeds and directions, and it's headed towards the Earth. We've covered all this in some detail. Now NASA can lie about it, and they can cover up any kind of investigation for their files and retrieve them. And NASA has a history of really being sloppy. I mean, really sloppy. Do you remember when the British hacker, his name escapes me, but he hacked into NASA, and Obama wanted to put him in prison for 70 years for hacking into an agency that had crappy security or no security at all on some of their files? They've been a joke. And in fact, there was actually a war game in space, and I was privy to see it when I used to go to meetings at Bill Pollack's home in La Placitas, and we'd have astronauts there and scientists and military and stuff, and I got invited, and it was fantastic. We had to sign these non-disclosure agreements that we would not reveal what we knew, what we heard, what we saw at these meetings. And some of these guys have passed on now, so I can share some of these things. We've had people like Edgar Mitchell there, fantastic stuff. Yeah, we it was, let me tell you, it opened my eyes tremendously. Now let me tell you what I learned and what I saw. You can find this now. It's out on the net. It keeps being scrubbed from different sources, but there were two videos from NASA, SDS-48 and SDS-72. Let's talk about the 48. That's the one I'm most familiar with. You see an object flying into near space orbit, and this is on the space shuttle camera. And then you see a whole fleet, and you see another fleet, and they appear to be firing on each other, but you can't see any sustainable damage with any of these so-called craft. And it was very interesting to me, and I concluded this was a war game. Someone asked me at the meeting, says, "Dave, what do you think?" I said, "It looks like a war game to me. I don't see any visible damage to the craft." And that was the general consensus. Now, this is why this was important. This took place over about a 47-second period, and the NASA camera was actually left on sloppily, and this broadcast out to the world before they realized their mistake and they shut it down. And then they started doing the 30-second to 2-minute delays now when they do their reports from space. They won't show live because they don't want you to see certain things. Never a straight answer. And now they're a spy agency. I believe they're a spy agency because Trump and the CIA and the Pentagon know something about these interstellar objects. There's something to this, people. I'm telling you, they're anomalous. We've got top scientists in the world like Michio Kaku saying, "This ain't normal." Avi Loeb from Mars, on Mars and Martian stuff, and he's been out there with this. This guy is really well respected. He talks about 3-Eye Atlas, and he said this is probably alien technology. Now, it could be alien, could be in control of the quote fallen angels and part of the Great Deception, but I don't discount what he's saying that it's alien. I happen to agree with him with the anomalies. When it went by the sun, you know what it did? It didn't slow down as it should have if it was gravitationally pulled. It sped up. It's reflecting light. And we're seeing other anomalous stuff about this that we have covered. This new act by Trump puts NASA in the position of covering everything up under the guise of national security. And we aren't allowed to have this information because I think we're getting too close to the truth. And I think there are forces on this planet, maybe a little more powerful than our president, saying, shut it down. Shut it down. Have you ever heard of Operation Red Sun? Now we know Apollo 18, 19, and 20 were canceled going to the moon, but the theory is, and actually there's some evidence for this or firsthand accounts, that these missions actually went to Mars and they were jointly done with Russia. I can't confirm this, but I'm saying there's smoke in that fire. And I don't know if it's real. But this is the kind of thing that could be covered up. I've had people tell me that all the stuff that we saw in Stargate SG-1 and all that, that we've already done all this stuff. Our technology is so advanced, it's incredible. And everything that's going on the planet now militarily is like an intramural battle. I think that is probably true. Now, why is Trump doing this with NASA? For what cover-up reason. I think we need to turn these tables upside down, pull up the hood, and look underneath all avenues. And I think we need to expose this because they don't have the right to keep this from humanity. This is our knowledge. This is important knowledge for the planet, whether it's real or debunked. And I think it's more real than debunked. But we have a right to this information. And I strongly disagree with the president I voted for. I would vote for him again if he was eligible to run. But I don't agree with him here. NASA, first of all, should be disbanded. It was created in part by a Nazi and Wernher von Braun right there. That kind of tells you what you're getting, right? Okay. And if you're familiar with his background, yeah, it's not good. I think he should have been tried as a war criminal. And this is what's publicly available. You know, I'm not embellishing anything here. In fact, if anything, I'm understating his background. And he put together NASA. No, thank you. Oh, my dad had a fit on this when he was working in combination with Operation Paperclip. When he was relaying the story to me before the end of his life, he was telling me, he says, we shouldn't have touched these people. They should never have been in positions of authority. We should have extracted information and put them into jails where they belonged. And he said, and that includes Wernher von Braun. He hated Wernher von Braun, hated him because of his background. What a mess we have on our hands now. NASA, a spy agency, and God help us, because they're so darned incompetent. We already have the secret space force, and then it became the space force, but we had a second secret space force. That's still the secret space force. And now NASA's going rogue. What does this tell you, people? There's something big going on there. And some of you who thought I was wasting my time on Oumuamua, on 3-1, 3-I Atlas, you think I'm wasting my time and I'm chasing fairy tales and I've lost my mind. There is something to this. And when you attract the attention of John Brandenburg from Harvard, Avi Loeb from Harvard, when you attract the attention of other great researchers like Michio Kaku, when these great researchers are all saying the same thing, maybe we should sit down and listen. And maybe we should start demanding answers. I'm not accepting this. It's in the interest of national security. It's a bunch of bull. I think Project Bluebeam is right around the corner. That's my guess. What do you think? I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show.
Hello, America, and to our friends around the world, welcome to The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. We'd invite you to follow us on our newsletter. Why? It's one-stop shopping for the multiple publications we do every day. You don't have to come back. Every story we do is going to be sent to your email box. All you got to do is go to thecommonsenseshow.com. Put in your email address. No, we do not sell data. And you'll get yours every single day. It's free, and over 50,000 people are taking advantage of it. You should too. We are brought to you by the Ansoma Liquid Spray, the best immune system booster I know of. It increases vitamin C production within you, regulates the vitamin D and nuclear receptors, and lengthens telomeres. This is absolutely a fantastic substance. And you know my story. I was on a downhill slope. I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. Friend Scotty Sachs gave me this. He said, Dave, try this and use it unlimitedly because it's all natural. Well, within a week, I'm getting up and down the stairs. Within about a month, I'm back in the gym, kind of a low level. And I was told, hey, you're headed for oxygen. You're headed for debilitation. This was not good. And by the way, those strip lung linings aren't coming back. Well, they're back, and I'm better than ever. And I'm better than I've been in 25 years. And I owe it to this product right here. All you got to do to get it is go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. If I had one product to choose, this would be it. We have a major, major celestial problem. As if we don't have enough problems domestically and across the planet with threats of war, we now have near miss predictions coming for the planet. And we have one right now that is eerily close.
but it's not the biggest danger we're going to face over the next several years. It's called FA 22, 2025. And it's an asteroid hurtling in the neighborhood of the Earth. It's going to come within 2 lunar distances of the Earth. Now, 1 lunar distance is the distance average between the Earth and the Moon. And 2, obviously, you double that. And actually, the real figure is 2.2. And you go, well, that's not too bad. Okay. It should miss us. It's in 2 days. We'll know very, very soon. Here's my major concern. A small collision, a brush by that causes a vibrational frequency that leads to a change of course. It wouldn't take much to lean this object and get it to pull within Earth's gravity. How bad would it be? Well, let's do a Tunguska comparison. Tunguska was 1/4 the size of this asteroid, the one that hit in 1908, wiped out such a mass of ants, a forest so devastating that the researchers couldn't even get in there for 2 decades. If Tunguska had happened, let's say, over London, London would cease to exist. There'd be nothing left. Nothing left alive, no building standing. And what had happened with this Tunguska is it was an airburst. The device, the asteroid, I should say, came in at a 30-degree angle, and 6 miles above the Earth, it blew up, and then the rest is history. Didn't make a direct impact, but the meteorites that sprang from it did. Tunguska, that asteroid, that was 44 meters wide. FA-22, 2025, it's 170 plus meters wide, almost. It's 4 times the size. Do 4 times the damage. This would be totally disruptive to planetary communications. Food supply lines would be affected. This would be a changing event like none other we've ever seen in modern history. And it's going to come eerily close. And if you think that's the end of the question, 2 days passes and nothing happens and we're okay, which I think is the probability, then you have Apophis, 8 times the size of FA-22. And here's the scary thing. It comes within the geofence. The asteroid is going to projectively pass inside our outermost satellites. There's no margin for error. One miscalculation, one bump and change the course, you'll have something that'll do unbelievable damage. Now, the odds are that an asteroid would not strike land like it did with Tunguska. It would hit in the ocean. Then you have amazing tsunamis going both directions, coastal cities wiped out, world economy plunging, medical horror beyond belief. And this would be bad with FA-22. Apophis coming on April 13th, 2029 would be 1,000, maybe 1,000,000 times worse. We can't even project the horror because we've had nothing like this in modern recorded history. We have remnants of what we've studied, but you can never be totally sure. But within our satellites is how close it's coming. The odds go up significantly. We're going to have an event. I'd make sure I'm prepped. I'd make sure I'm right with the Lord, but I'd make sure I did it. Within the next 2 days, that's enough of a threat. But then with Apophis, the odds, I don't think, are 50-50, but they're close. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Thank you for watching.